I want to invite you to join us for the first ever Bitcoin Business Owners Roundtable. On May 22nd, Paul Dijo, co-founder and former COO at Mudwater, will be sharing about online marketing and using Bitcoin to accelerate your efforts. In addition to helping scale the well-known coffee alternative, Paul is also behind Casey Cattle's recent Bitcoin adoption that went viral on Twitter. After Paul shares, there'll be a live Q&A along with the time to share insights and network with fellow entrepreneurs. You can find a link in the show notes to sign up. Be sure you'll be able to say, "I was there," when your progeny ask you where you were for the first ever Bitcoin Business Owners Roundtable.
You know, if you're corporations and you're sending, you know, large 5, 6, 7, 8 figure sums, as Bitcoin becomes more prominent and becomes the default payment, you're going to want something like Zaprite that enables them and has, you know, those proof of payments on both ends, right? Because one of the things that obviously Zaprite does is when a payment happens, both parties get an email with all of the records of that transaction, like from the transaction ID all the way through to the amount, the current like USD base rate or whatever the fiat currency happened to be at the time, and you know, the exchange rate, timestamp, transaction ID, all of that stuff, both parties get that. So, you know, having something like that for large corporations and businesses that need these legal protections to say like, yes, this payment happened at this time, is hugely beneficial.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is John McGill, who's the founder of Zaprite, a company that helps businesses with Bitcoin invoicing, project management, and expense tracking. This is our second interview with John. There's been a lot of changes in Zaprite across the last year or so since our last conversation, and I'm excited to share with you this interview today. Of course, before we get to the conversation, we do have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And this week, we're going to John's home country of Ireland for the Dublin Bitcoiners Meetup. The Dublin Bitcoiners Meetup is a monthly meetup that opens with a fun Bitcoin game every single meeting. Lightning Relay Races, Fast Finger, or coming up this Saturday the 16th, the Bitcoin Memory Game. To play these games, you need Bitcoin skills, but don't worry because they teach it all. After the game, they run through a monthly news roundup and say hello to any Bitcoin beginners. Topics for the meetings range from macroeconomics to Bitcoin privacy to Bitcoin adoption around the world. To learn more and connect with Dublin Bitcoiners, follow them on X or Noster at Dublin Bitcoiner. That link is down below, as well as a link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with John right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Josh. Appreciate it.
So I'd like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. You ready for these?
Yep.
All right. Since you're a repeat guest, we have a slightly different first question, and that is, what is the part of the Bitcoin rabbit hole you've been going down most recently?
I would say a kind of bringing it back to roots, maybe is a good way of explaining it. Just realizing that there's still a lot to be solved with on-chain payments. There's still a lot to be solved with just regular payments and on-chain payments. There's a huge amount of development in the Lightning space, which is amazing. There's a ton of stuff that's happening, a ton of experimentation, everything to do with, you know, Noster and AI and Zaps and everything, the innovation and the tests and everything else that's happening is amazing. But there's still a lot to be done with just basic on-chain payments and getting people the tools that they need to accept Bitcoin in an easy way, which is, you know, obviously what Zaprite is all about. But it's really, you know, since we've gone further down the road with Zaprite, it's something that's just really come to the forefront, is really just trying to focus in on like the basics of Bitcoin, bringing it back to pure, simple self-custody payments and making that as easy as possible for the vast majority of people.
Question number two is this. What's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
I'm going to like cheat a little bit and repeat my answer from the first podcast, because I think it's a powerful one. And really, it's just that, you know, Bitcoin humbles you and makes you a better person. When you go down the rabbit hole, it obviously opens up like a whole lot of things that you just didn't think of. Maybe some people do, and that's how they fall down the rabbit hole. But for most people, it's like, you know, it's no more go up technology. That's what draws them in. But then you realize that there are, you know, profound things with Bitcoin that just make you just kind of stop and fundamentally assess your own personal journey. And really just, you know, realizing that whole low time preference aspect, realizing that there is an amazing future ahead if you take the right path. And then when you realize that future is ahead, you need to then start preparing yourself for that future. So becoming a better person, looking after your health, your wellness, you know, the relationships, the people around you, all of those things. You know, if I knew that when I was starting to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, it may have been a very, very different journey. But it's something that I wish more people were aware of, at least aware of like quicker, rather than, you know, going down the whole kind of like trading and number go up thing. Because once we have more people fundamentally realizing how Bitcoin can make you as an individual better, and then by default, the rest of the world, it's a powerful thing. So that's one thing that, you know, I wish most people knew.
Question number three is this: what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
I would say, again, I'm going to go back to an original answer on this, and that is meetups. They're just hugely important, hugely important. It's really just a really focused high signal way to get the most out of your time. So, you know, speaking about the previous answer about, you know, trying to, you know, make the most of your time. And one of those things is meetups, because you can, you know, pack a whole lot of information, education, relationship building, networking into like an hour or two meetup that you just won't get from hours of scrolling Twitter online, right? So if you have a meetup in your local area, go to it. If you don't have one, start one. That's really what it's all about, is just getting face to face with other people, talking and just spitballing ideas and seeing what can be improved. For your local community, starting at a small level, you know, you start with yourself as an individual, then you bring it out to the community, and that obviously like spreads out. And that can't happen without like-minded people getting together and actually discussing these things. So meetups are hugely underrated for that reason.
So question number four is this: beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or Zapryte recently?
I would say an idea for sure that's been, you know, planted in my mind as I've gone through this journey of building Zapryte. And when you're a small team and you don't have like a big budget, it's very easy to just spread yourself thin and get yourself pulled all over the place in every direction. And so one of the things that I've really kind of learned is, you know, stick to your guns, you know, stick to that original idea you had. Don't get distracted, even when it's very tempting to do it, when you see everybody else doing it. And that's it. It's just really focus and hone in on your mission and what you're there to do.
Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Again, I'm going to go for why on this one. I think the more you ask yourself why, again, I mentioned it last time, it's a recalibration. You can just keep asking yourself why everything you're doing, why am I doing this? Why am I taking this path? Why am I hanging around with this person? Why am I doing these things? And the more you ask why, then the less you have to ask why not. Maybe it's the cart before the horse, but you're basically pre-qualifying a lot of this stuff. And also just keeping yourself in check as you go. You know, asking that question, like why, just again, I suppose tying into the previous answer, is you can just keep yourself on the right path and make sure you're still on that same path that you chose to go down, is asking yourself, why am I doing this? And if the answer, you know, still calibrates with your original idea, then you keep going.
Meet Linkster, your premier Bitcoin-focused advisor. Linkster caters to businesses, institutions, family offices, and high net worth individuals. They merge your unique financial goals and needs with Linkster's Bitcoin expertise to craft your own sustainable plan to preserve and grow the value of your hard-earned profits and retained earnings. And Linkster is not just advice, it's tailored execution. Connect directly with the founder by visiting linkster.com. That's linkster.com. Linkster, secure your future with Bitcoin. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, today we're here, John, to talk about Zaprite. We've had a conversation with you before, I think probably a little bit over a year ago. I know a lot's changed since then, but for those who haven't heard about Zaprite before, could you give us the TLDR of what Zaprite is and why you started it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Zaprite fundamentally is a Bitcoin payments platform. What we do is we enable people to accept Bitcoin payments as easily as possible. We do it with a focus on self-custody, but obviously we also have custodial options and, you know, some fiat options with card payments and things like that as well. And I'll speak a little bit more about that as we go through. But realistically, what we're doing is, as I mentioned, we're trying to create these tools that bridge this time where we are, where people are accepting both Bitcoin and fiat payments. And if we can build tools that make it as seamless as possible to offer both of those options to customers, then businesses will benefit. And in the long run, it helps businesses to migrate over to a Bitcoin standard. And that's really what we aim to do. With a huge focus on usability. So, you know, my background is design. So like UI UX is a huge focus for me personally. And, you know, that kind of leads into where Zaprite came from. You know, back in 2018, 2019, I started working for Bitcoin companies up in Canada doing freelance graphic design, web design, UI UX. And I was getting paid in Bitcoin. And I needed an invoicing platform where I could actually send professional invoices to these companies to get paid in Bitcoin. And it was a difficult thing to do back then, even for somebody like semi-tech literate like myself, running an original Casa node, running BTC Pay server back in 2018, trying to, you know, make sure that URLs were exposed and clients could actually reach the invoices and make payments to the node. It was a very difficult thing to do. And so I figured, there's got to be an easy way to do this without the running the server part of it. And so that was the kind of idea that was always in the back of my head. And then I eventually just started building Zaprite as a hobby project in 2020 to build this platform that I really just needed for myself to solve my own problem. And then from there, it took off. I moved down to Austin and, you know, embedded myself in the scene down there. And very quickly, Zaprite took off, which again is a testament to, you know, some of the things I mentioned before about just doing the proof of work and getting yourself in amongst it, you know, showing up at community events and meetups and hackathons and co-working spaces and things like that. Hugely, hugely beneficial. Because there's always going to be people who are willing to help and share their knowledge with you to make your journey a lot easier.
So I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about how Zaprite works when we talk about some of the changes you've made across the last year. But first of all, I want to talk a little bit about how you've been growing your team. I feel like at the popular level, this is something I've heard a lot of people talking about. Adding to the team, expanding, getting out there a little bit more. Love to hear you talk a little bit about how that came to be, you growing your team, and some of the benefits you've seen as you've begun to grow from probably primarily, a one or two person venture to once again building out a team that can help Zaprite to grow faster.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a heck of a journey since coming down to Austin. As I mentioned, it was literally just me. I had help from my good friend Nate, who was head of engineering at Bull Bitcoin in Canada at the time, who I was doing some freelance work for. I got his help to get the project off the ground, and he was always there to kind of step in whenever I needed things that I just didn't understand, because I wasn't a developer. At least I didn't consider myself one then. I still don't now. A lot of people give me some trouble for that, but it basically, I had to learn React and learn JavaScript just to build the MVP. So a lot of that was just learning, tinkering, just hobby evening weekend project with Nate on the sideline to jump in whenever I needed help. But then when I came down to Austin, managed to speak to some investors, get some investor interest, get some money on board, which then allowed me to hire developers, initially part time and then eventually like a full time developer. And one of the first things that we did was quickly realize that the code that I had written was garbage and needed to be redone. So we had to get the developer to actually just start from scratch and rebuild the whole thing from the ground up to allow it to just be, a much more robust code base and allow it to scale a lot better. So that was a project that took, a good 6, 7, 8, 9 months. Still ongoing, but like there was a lot of work done over the course of that 6 to 8 months where, we didn't ship a lot of features, but we just did a heck of a lot of work in the background, just making sure that everything was rewritten. We were using Google Firebase for our database, which is, which is not great. So we wanted to move away from that. So we now have our own self-hosted Postgres database. And one of the other big things that we did, we started with, was the original version of Zaprite, which people may be familiar at the time, the last time I was on your show, was just purely as an invoicing platform. And so when you created an invoice, you could connect these wallets, whether it was on-chain wallet or Liquid or Strike or Stripe for credit card, and you would basically enable them on the invoice itself. So what we did was we basically split out that process into two components, into a separate standalone checkout and then the invoice itself, which feeds into the checkout. So now you can actually configure these connections, same connections and payment methods on the checkouts themselves. And then you can also do it and customize it on a per invoice basis as well. And so the new checkout feature is basically it's a hosted, branded, fully functioning checkout with an integration of on-chain Lightning and Fiat. So you can actually offer all of these rails to your customers now in one unified hosted branded checkout. So that was a huge part of that whole rewrite. And around about the time that we were getting ready to ship that in April of this year, I started talking with Parker Lewis and Will Cole from working out of the Bitcoin Commons co-working space and Pleb Lab down in Austin. I got to know Parker and Will, and they had recently transitioned out of full-time roles at Unchained, still there in a smaller part-time capacity, but they transitioned out and they were looking for a project to work on, and they were going to do something themselves in the payment space. And we just got talking and they just realized that, I had kind of built 90% of what they were like thinking of building. That was certainly something that I would not have seen happen when I first moved down to Austin in September of 2021. But again, you know, that just comes from, you know, showing up and doing the work and being at these places and getting to know these people and, you know, constantly just showing up. You're there to, you know, you're there to do a job. But that was, yeah, so that was huge. That was, you know, massive, massive additions to the team. As everybody knows, Parker and Will are, you know, they're very much, you know, heavy reputations behind them and a lot of experience. And they're already, you know, it's already paying dividends at Zaprite with the stuff that we've been doing for the last couple of months. And so really when they came on, the push then was to get, you know, this next level of payment features into Zaprite, which is the payment links, which we launched at BitBlock Boom in Austin in August. As well as subscriptions. I think we'd mentioned last time on your show that Zaprite was free and that it wouldn't stay that way for a long time. And it was something that I'd always, you know, obviously we'd have to bring payments in at some time. We have to monetize the product, but it was just figuring out what the best way to do that was. I'm not a big fan of the percentage on the volume model. I much prefer the, you know, value for value SaaS model. You know, if we're providing a service that, you know, businesses find useful, they pay to access our platform. And I think that kind of works well as a model. And so that was introduced at the same time as the payment links feature. And the payment links feature, if anybody hasn't checked it out yet, is basically, so if you think of, we have the standalone checkout that we split the invoicing into invoices that feed into a standalone checkout. Because we have that standalone checkout, it now means we can feed anything into that. And we can basically feed any kind of product or like single SKU or service, you know, like a ticket, or maybe you're selling a book, either a physical book or a digital download, whatever it might be. You can now create these unique payment links and you can, you know, attach an image and a description and all that kind of stuff. And create these payment links that can then be purchased multiple times. So obviously with an invoice, you're sending it to one specific person, it gets paid once and then it's gone. And so with these payment links, you can actually like take this HTML embed code that we have as well. That gives you a nice little HTML, like, you know, pay now button. You can customize that, drop it into like, say a newsletter, email newsletter, or like a Wix or WordPress website or anywhere really. And then you can actually start funneling people over to your hosted branded checkout at Zaprite. And so one of the big things that we had to do for that as well was introduce XPub support. Because obviously we didn't want to have address reuse. That was fine for invoicing because you would just paste the mm-hmm. single address on every time onto the invoice. But we really had to get XPub in there for the payment links feature. So we added basic XPub support, which is just pasting an XPub in, and then we'll just derive the addresses and attach them to every order that gets created in your checkout. And then we also added tools like Unchained, where you can actually drop a multi-sig configuration file in there. And now you can actually have all of these payments just go directly into your Unchained vault. So a lot of tools like that are starting to be added in. Now that we have the capability, we can just start plugging in a lot more of these connections and just offer up a wider array of payment methods for users, whether it's self-custody or custodial, you know, on-chain, Lightning, multi-sig, like whatever it might be. There's just a whole range of options that we can now give users alongside the fiat payment with the Stripe credit cards. If they want that too, which I think is a great feature, because, you know, having that side by side on a checkout where you can actually show your customers, hey, we accept Bitcoin as well. You know, here's credit card if you want to pay, but we accept Bitcoin as well. And then one of the features we'll introduce in the future, which we've teased a couple of times, I think, is the discounts and premiums. So we'll allow you to add discounts or premiums to certain types of payment methods. So if you have a checkout where you're showing like, hey, I accept on-chain payments, I accept Lightning payments, and I accept credit cards, but maybe I'm going to give you like 5% off if you, you know, pay on chain, or maybe I'm going to add 5% to like a credit card payment so I can cover the processing fees or something like that. So yeah, a lot of development that's happened over the last while. And, you know, a lot of that has been to do with expanding the team and getting more people in there that can really, really help shape the roadmap and help with actually getting those features out.
So the payment links, it sounds like, at least the way I'm imagining it, it seems like that would allow for an opportunity to set up like a storefront using Zaprite. Is that accurate? Is that something that you can do now, something potentially in the future? Am I understanding it correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. So we one of the first person that we actually gave access to the payment links to was Jimmy Song. Mm. And at BitBlock Boom, he was selling his new book. And he basically had created a whole bunch of payment links on Zaprite for different, you know, different variations of his book. So, you know, hardcover, signed hardcover, ebook, you know, 10 pack of books, like different things. And he created his own, you know, just landing page and was just dropping those links in. So he would feed people over to the landing page, they'd click the link and they'd go to Zaprite. But one of the things we could actually do ourselves in the future is we could actually, you know, give people a one-click hosted storefront for those payment links as well, mm-hmm. right? And we could maybe have some different type of templates where they could customize the templates and, you know, add, you know, design and image and description and stuff like that. So, you know, if you were somebody who was running an event maybe or a small like conference or something like that, or even a big conference, and you just wanted to spin up a store for like, you know, a couple of days that the conference was going to be, you know, active, you wanted to sell some merch or something, rather than spinning up like a whole Shopify or WooCommerce or whatever, you could literally just go to Zaprite, punch in a couple of products, click a button, and then we would actually just, you know, pull everything in onto one single page for you. So you would essentially have your one-click hosted storefront.
That's awesome. So I'm sure there are a lot of people who are thinking about the possibilities right now for their own situation. Hopefully they'll be reaching out to you in the future to see how they can maybe use Zaprite. One of the things that I also wanted to ask about is the subscription model. I definitely see the value in that. Is there a certain level of business that people will need to be seeing in order to make a subscription worth it? And are there multiple tiers, or is it currently just kind of one offer?
There's currently just one offer. Right now it's $25 per month. Is there a certain level of business you'll want to do to make that worthwhile? I mean, I guess that's a kind of a judgment call mm-hmm. for users, right? But I mean, one way you could look at it is, well, if you're doing $2,500 a month, that's 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing way more than that, then, you know, that's an absolute bargain. Will there be other tiers in the future? I mean, yes, I'm guessing there will be. Like, this is just our starter tier just to see what works, what sticks, what users are, you know, comfortable with. And to see, you know, because one of the things we've done as well is we've built our own subscription system in the background that runs on Bitcoin payments. So we're not using Stripe or anything like that. We've actually built our own. And so it was much easier for us to just offer one single payment tier to start this off. Eventually, we would love to like offer this as a feature to our users as well, where they could actually start taking subscriptions themselves through Zaprite and build their own tiers and their own different pricing models and stuff. And so we'll do the same thing ourselves. We'll look at the different you know, aspects of how our users are actually using the app. And if there's, you know, lower tiers or higher enterprise tiers that we need to offer at different times, we'll certainly look at that. But for now, this is basically just an introductory, you know, pricing model just to start things off and see how this feature works for us internally.
So one of the things you had mentioned earlier is that you had kind of had to teach yourself how to write code, and you ended up having to redo that. I'm going to ask this question not to highlight that necessarily, but just because I think that anytime you're starting an entrepreneurial endeavor, you don't know what you don't know. I'm curious, mm-hmm. in retrospect, do you wish that you had gotten someone early on who maybe had a little bit more experience, or do you feel like that was a valuable, if not necessary, step for you to kind of do it yourself and kind of get in the weeds there?
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, that's a really good question, because I think there's two ways you could answer that. I mean, both would be valid answers, but I think the answer I'll give is I kind of think it was a necessary step and a valuable step, because what it allowed me to do is it allowed me to shape the initial product exactly how I wanted it to be. And I'm not saying that wouldn't have happened if I had a developer, but maybe I would have had a developer who would kind of push me away from certain features because they were like, you know, they didn't want to build them, or they were too difficult, or they thought they didn't make them, you know, make sense. And so one aspect of building by yourself is you just get to shape it exactly how you want to see it. But obviously, the, like I said, there's two answers. So the other side of that is like, no, you get somebody else in and they build it a lot faster and you get to market faster. But there definitely was advantages to it. Now, one thing I will say as well is that I did know how to code PHP to a certain degree. So I wasn't a absolute brand new beginner. I'd done HTML, CSS and a bit of PHP before, but nothing in React or JavaScript before. So, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I would say to people, do it, just roll up your sleeves and do it. If you think you can, even if you think you can't, there's so many courses out there that will teach you the basics. And so if you think you have a product, just try and build it. See what it looks like. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just build it and have fun doing it, and you'll learn a lot along the way.
So you also mentioned earlier about going back to the basics and maybe the importance of on-chain payments. I'm curious to know your thoughts about the future of on-chain payments. Do you feel like that's going to be something that people can use at the, we'll just say like a popular level for the foreseeable future? Or do you see a future where on-chain payments are no longer something that the average person is going to be doing? Maybe let's talk in the context of like the next decade or so. I'm just curious to know your thoughts there and maybe the value that you see in on-chain payments.
I'll speak to the value of on-chain payments first. Because I mean, I think, you know, a lot of Bitcoiners, obviously, you know, listening to this show will kind of know off the top of their head what the value are. But, you know, obviously self-custody, holding your own keys, and instant settlement, just from a sovereignty perspective, you know, the value there is huge. You know, you lose a little bit of that when you start taking Lightning, especially in like most of Lightning these days is custodial. So you lose a lot of that. So there's immense value in just accepting base on-chain payments. In terms of what direction that's going to go over the next 10 years, for sure, you know, we're going to get to a stage as when Bitcoin adoption, you know, grows to such an extent that block space becomes, you know, a hell of a lot more scarce. You know, it will be used by folks who just need to settle much, much larger payments. And that could be institutions, businesses, and then eventually like banks and nations and things like that. Which again is where a lot of the, you know, the self-sovereignty comes from, right? If you're large banks or large corporations dealing with each other or nation states dealing with each other, you know, on-chain payments are absolutely the way to go. So they're obviously not going anywhere. Will the average person be able to, you know, do on-chain payments in 10 years? I'm not sure of the time scale, but it definitely at some stage they're going to be, you know, priced out for sure. But it, you know, there's definitely a long market ahead of us where that's not the case. You know, if you're, you know, corporations and you're sending, you know, large 5, 6, 7, 8 figure sums, you know, as Bitcoin becomes more prominent and becomes the default payment for these type of transactions, you're going to want something like Zaprite that enables them and has, you know, those proof of payments on both ends, right? Because one of the things that obviously Zaprite does is when a payment happens, both parties get an email with all of the records of that transaction, like from the transaction ID all the way through to the amount, the current like USD base rate or whatever the fiat currency happened to be at the time, you know, the exchange rate, timestamp, transaction ID, all of that stuff, both parties get that. So, you know, having something like that for you know, large corporations and businesses that need these legal protections to say like, yes, this payment happened at this time, is hugely beneficial. So there definitely will be a need. The time frame, yeah, who knows? You know, at what point it's going to start getting squeezed to just a bunch of smaller, you know, people, larger entities, obviously, but just like a smaller group of people transacting. It will happen at some stage, but there's definitely a long future ahead of us where that's not going to be the case.
All right. Final question before we start to wrap up. I'm curious to know about a shiny object that you have had to either in the past or maybe even in the present ignore in order to kind of stay focused on what you need to be focused on with ZapRite. Is there ever anything that you see that you've wanted to do, but you've had to ignore it in order to stay focused on what you know your mission is?
I would say Noster for sure. Noster is, you know, it's interesting. The use cases obviously right now seem to be all around social media and things like that, which, you know, don't really interest me too much. Not because I don't think they're beneficial, but more just because I think there's more important stuff to do right now. But there certainly is like a lot of benefits to Noster. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I've wanted to do for quite a while is, you know, when you sign up for ZapRite right now, like, I mean, we don't ask for KYC because we're non-custodial. We're not a payment processor or not a money transmitter. And we don't need to ask for that information. So we don't, obviously. You just need an email address to sign up. But one of the things we could do is we could just, you know, get people to sign up with an NPUB. And once they sign up, then obviously that's more private than an email. So they can just keep logging in with that. And then what we could do is instead of sending them emails when notifications when their payments are made, we could actually send, you know, Noster DMs, encrypted DMs, where these users, when they connect, they could connect to our relay that we're running. And we could whitelist it just for our users so that only they can, you know, get the messages and it's not going to be, you know, flooded with everything. And then, of course, we could add, you know, the contacts page. When you're adding contacts, you could add an NPUB in there for those as well. So when you're sending out your invoices, your contact could get a Noster note or a DM with that information as well. So there's ways to use it. We could use it for internal encrypted chat, like social or live chat with, you know, our users as well. We could build encrypted chat into invoicing and payment links. There's a lot of stuff that Noster is, it makes it really easy for developers to build these tools because the protocol is very easy to use. So, you know, there's definitely shiny things there with Noster for sure that, you know, I've thought about, I've considered, but again, just not priority on the roadmap right now, especially with a small team and a small budget. There's only so much you can do.
Sure. Well, John, it's been great to see your growth across the last year. Thanks for coming on again today. You have any final thoughts, things that either we didn't get a chance to talk about that are relevant to ZapRite or just things that you think are important for Bitcoiners to be thinking about? And then if you would share with us where people can go to find out more about ZapRite and keep up with you.
I mean, I think we covered a lot. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been a while coming and I'm stoked to be back on the show again. So thank you for that. Maybe I'll just wrap up everything into one, which is if you haven't checked out ZapRite yet, we are offering a free 30-day trial. So you can go over, just like I said, sign up with an email address. Go to ZapRite.com and there'll be a link there, or go directly to app.zaprite.com. And you can sign up. Play around with it for 30 days, create payment links, create invoices, like attach wallets, XPubs, Strike wallets, connections, different things. Try it out, see what fits. And if you have any feedback or suggestions, like, we're open, hit us up on Twitter or Telegram. Let us know your thoughts, give us your feedback. We're always looking for that. Yeah, other than that, it's amazing to see. It's amazing to see the amount of things that are being built in the Bitcoin space right now. The amount of, you know, when you're in places like Austin and you see, you know, the hackathons and the meetups and different things happening and what the guys at Pleb Lab are doing with all the workshops and the education aspect. And it's really just amazing to see. And I think we're at a stage now where there's been so much work that has been done in the last like 6 to 12 months and will be done for the next few months as we, you know, ramp up into the next the halving and the bull market. I think we're just going to see a lot of really interesting products, come to the forefront. We already are. And I think that will continue. So it's really great to see. So I just say to people, like, yeah, just look out for those products and use them, test them, give the feedback, and start helping out Bitcoiners, make Bitcoiners' life easier, make your own life easier as a Bitcoiner. That's about it.
Great. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Josh.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or John, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you think Zaprite could be a great fit for your business, check them out as well. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, thank you. If you want to take a further step in your support for the show, you can help us grow by listening on Fountain, a value for value podcast app on iOS or Android. If you hear something you like that you disagree with or anything else, you can share it by sending some sats and adding a comment with your thoughts. Some of you have already done this and I appreciate it. I'm going to begin reading your boosts on upcoming episodes. So if you have some insight or value to add, let the people know. Getting started with Fountain is easy. You can add Bitcoin to your Fountain wallet by using your fiat accounts or any Lightning wallet. And one of my favorite features is that once you're using the app, you can earn sats just by listening on Fountain. Check out the link in the show notes to get started with Fountain today.